There are plenty of people who smoke who think they could take it or leave it. They don't believe they have an addiction, and the reason they have that belief is they know they don't really have to smoke. They're just doing it because they like to. If it turns out they have to stop one day, they'll simply give it up. I had an experience once where I had a woman join a stop smoking clinic that I was doing in a corporate setting. She was a great example of one of these people who thought she could quit anytime she wants until a specific incident happened that made her realize how much smoking she was doing because she had to compared to what she wanted to be doing. She wasn't planning on joining the clinic that she was at. It was being held at a corporate work site, and it was a blue-collar kind of company. There were some administrative people in there, but it was a lot of assembly line workers. And she was a person who was one of the assembly line workers. She knew the clinic was coming up. It was starting on Tuesday, but she wasn't joining this clinic. Again, she didn't need to quit smoking. If she ever wanted to, she would just do it. That was her belief. She believed that until the weekend before the clinic. An incident happened. She was at home, and it was pretty late at night, and she always kept a good supply of cigarettes. She was very careful about this. But somehow, this particular evening, she ran out of cigarettes. If she had a stash in the house, she couldn't find them. It was around 7 o'clock at night when she started to realize she had a pack with a few cigarettes left, but she didn't have too much more. And she couldn't find any other, packs of cigarettes that she normally would have had. She wasn't worried, though, because even at this point in time, she didn't realize what kind of smoking problem she had. Over the next hour or two, she smoked all those cigarettes, and it was close to bedtime, and she figured, well, she would just go to bed now and just buy some more in the morning. Well, it was the first time that she could remember, and maybe the first time it ever happened, where she didn't have cigarettes in the house, and she was trying to go to sleep, and it was gnawing on her. She realized, oh my gosh, I have no cigarettes. But all this time, she's assumed that she was a controlled smoker. She could take it or leave it. So this wasn't going to be a big deal. So again, she tries to get back to sleep. Another hour or so ticked by. So now it's getting later. It's after 10:30, I think, when she started to really panic and realize, oh my God, I need a cigarette. She was not going to get any sleep without the knowledge of a cigarette was there. And really, it wasn't even a knowledge at this point in time. She needed a cigarette. She tossed and turned, she paced, and she just realized she's got to do something. She's got to go get cigarettes. Well, she lived in an apartment building in Chicago. She didn't know any of her neighbors, but this was kind of an emergency situation. It's 10:30 at night. She needs a cigarette, so she leaves her apartment, and she goes to the neighbor, who she's never met before, and she knocks on the door, and the neighbor, answers the door. Neighbors aren't too happy about getting knocks on their door in the inner city in Chicago at 10:30 at night, but the person answered the door, and this neighbor explained, I'm your neighbor, and I ran out of cigarettes, and please can I borrow a cigarette? Well, she had the misfortune of she hit a non-smoker's apartment. Now, a smoker may have understood. But not a non-smoker. This was something that really ticked this person off. I don't think neighbors kind of wanted to meet each other much anyway, but they didn't want to be woken up late at night or knocked on the door for a cigarette when she wasn't even a smoker. Well, she was chewed out by the non-smoking neighbor. Leave me alone. We don't have cigarettes. Get out. So the woman goes back to her apartment, and she figures, this is not meant to be. She'll just have to, get them in the morning. She tosses and turns again in bed. She can't get to sleep, and she's getting desperate again. So now it's about 11 o'clock, and she needs a cigarette. So she goes to the neighbor on the other side. I don't know if this person was a smoker or not, but this person was asleep. And at 11 o'clock, someone's knocking on her door, wakes her up, startles her. She comes to the door again, the neighbor introduces her, says, I'm out of cigarettes. Can I have a cigarette? And she got chewed out by this neighbor who slammed the door in the face and said, if you bother me again, I'm calling the landlord. So now she goes back to her apartment, and she realizes she can't do this neighbor thing anymore. She's going to get herself evicted. So she just decides, she just can't smoke. This did. She'll have to make it to the morning. Well, in about 15 to 20 minutes later, she's getting up and she's getting dressed. She is going to go for a cigarette. Now, I used to do a lot of programs in the inner city in Chicago, and people would brag about how bad their neighborhoods were. They would brag about how they had all these locks on the door, how they wouldn't leave their house in the middle of the night for anything. unless they ran out of cigarettes. Well, that was a different circumstance, and this is something that people would leave their homes for. Well, she's starting to get dressed, and she knows where to get cigarettes. There's a 7-Eleven. The only problem is, the only obstacle is she has to walk through a park in Chicago, a city park, to get to that 7-Eleven to get to the cigarettes. She is terrified by this prospect. You know, people get murdered at this point in time at going through the parks in the middle of the night. This is what she's thinking. Now, her other dilemma, she's a single parent, and she has a 2-year-old, and she doesn't want to wake him up and drag him through the park, especially considering the fact that she's worried about getting murdered. She doesn't want to get her son murdered. So she's getting dressed, and she's trying to think, what is she going to do with this 2-year-old? How is she going to handle this? And she's debating this back and forth, and then she finally decides she's going to leave the 2-year-old at home and go get the cigarettes. Now, she has a dog, and she starts to rationalize. Smokers are very good at rationalizing when they're going for a cigarette. And she's starting to rationalize, well, the dog probably needs a walk anyway. Now, let's understand, there's no way this dog was going to get a walk in the middle of the night under any other circumstance. The dog wasn't asking for a walk. But she decides, no, the dog probably needs a walk anyway, so she'll take the dog with, and it's going to afford her some form of protection. She's thinking that, too. She gets her coat on. She leaves her apartment. She deadbolts the doors. She leaves the building. She is now headed toward the park in Chicago. Her heart is palpitating. She is terrified. She thinks she's going to get killed here. As she's walking through the park, she's thinking to herself, she's going to get killed. They're going to mug her, too. They're going to take her purse. No one's going to know who she is. No one's going to know her baby's in this apartment. He's going to starve to death. I mean, she has all these fears going on. It doesn't cause her to turn around and go home, of course. She's still heading for the 7-Eleven, but she is terrified the whole way. She's putting her life on the line to go get these cigarettes. She's maybe not recognizing it at this point, but this is what's going through her mind. I am going to get murdered, but I have to go for the cigarettes. So she gets to the 7-Eleven, ties the dog up outside, and she goes to the store and she buys a few packs. And she smokes while in the store. She is so panicked by what happened. And you got to understand, she was terrified during this whole trip out there. That was making her urine acidic. That was making her lose nicotine. She was in worse withdrawal by the time she got to that store than when she started this little trek. She smokes a few cigarettes in the store. She leaves. She has cigarettes with her along the way. Again, she unties the dog. She's walking home, and again, now she's really scared again because she doesn't know that she's not going to get murdered and that her son's not going to starve to death because no one's going to find him and know who she is. She does get home. She deadbolts all the doors. You know, she's terrified. Her heart's pounding. She realized what she did. She literally realized for the first time she put her life on the line instantly as soon as she walked out that door to go get to a cigarette. And then she said it hit her how illogical she had been this whole time frame. She said she took the dog with, and then again, her logic was, and what she was rationalizing why it was okay to do this trip up front, was she was taking the dog with for protection. She said, I have a chihuahua. What's this dog going to do for me? And it was the first time that she realized, the first time that she had a problem with smoking. Up to this moment in time, she thought she could take it or leave it anytime she wanted to. It wasn't until she was put into this situation where all of a sudden cigarettes were not available that she realized just what type of grip this product has. Many people are working with this false assumption that, you know, it's no big deal. They can stop anytime they want. Until they're put in the position where they have to quit smoking or where they can't get to cigarettes and they start to realize just what problem they really do have from this addiction. Fortunately for her, this happened, again, the weekend before a clinic was starting on Tuesday, and that's what prompted her to join. Many people watching this may have had times in their life where they had similar circumstances that finally hit home the point that they were no longer smoking out of choice. They had to do it. Unfortunately, some people didn't take action and didn't do anything to stop the behavior now. They accepted the fact that they had to do it, but they didn't come to the conclusion or they didn't have a resource in a way to get them out of this problem. And to this day, they still have the same problem. Again, instances like this show people how addicted they are. Instances like this show people how they have no choice over smoking. Smoking calls the shots. But people can gain control over cigarettes. It's a matter of getting nicotine out of their system, breaking the grip that cigarettes have on them, and then keeping it out of their system. If they do this, they'll realize again the sense of freedom that they get from breaking free from this product that has such an ironclad grip in the past. And then to avoid ever letting it get this kind of a grip again will be just as simple as understanding, now that it's out and now that it doesn't control you anymore, that to keep this quit going a day at a time for as long as you want is as easy as sticking to a personal commitment to never take another puff.